All of us would love to know about our future. The art of divination has existed for a very long time. The Romans would consult a haruspex before setting out to do something important. The haruspex would check the entrails of a bird to predict the outcome. Thank God, the divinators of today resort to less messy methods to predict the future. While most divination of today is practiced by traditional astrologers, who have restricted their knowledge mainly on predictive astrology texts, today's crop of divinators are a little more exposed to modern life. And there are a few who have integrated many current scientific practices into their divination. Neha Goyal is one such. Having worked for about 15 years in a corporate environment and in marketing, she always wondered why outcomes were so varied. Her curiosity held so much momentum, she quit her job and dived right into various books and theories to assimilate knowledge. So, it's over to Neha and Nanda. All of us would love to know about our future. The art of divination has existed for a very long time. The Romans would consult a haruspex before setting out to do something important. The haruspex would check the entrails of a bird to predict the outcome. Thank God, the divinators of today resort to less messy methods to predict the future. While most divination of today is practiced by traditional astrologers, who have restricted their knowledge mainly on predictive astrology texts, today's crop of divinators are a little more exposed to modern life. And there are a few who have integrated many current scientific practices into their divination. Neha Goyal is one such. Having worked for about 15 years in a corporate environment and in marketing, she always wondered why outcomes were so varied. Her curiosity held so much momentum, she quit her job and dived right into various books and theories to assimilate knowledge.
Neha Goyal, you're from the Neha Goyal Stream Reading. You're a mindset coach. You're a DNA astrologer. You're into tarot and numerology as well.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nanda, for inviting me on this lovely podcast. And it's always good to have a tete-a-tete, have a discussion about all that, we discussed earlier before, why we are here. So really grateful to be invited on your podcast.
Likewise, happy to have you on my podcast. So, Shreem, that's Bijakshara, right, of Sri Lakshmi?
Absolutely, yes. So, Shreem, yes, it's a Bijakshara and it denotes auspiciousness, also prosperity. So, basically, there is a myth that when it comes to Lakshmi or when it comes to prosperity, it means only in terms of money. Mm-hmm. And that's something which I, learned from my guru, Guru Raja Chaudhary. And I was like, it means this stream denotes auspiciousness in each and every aspect of your life, starting from wisdom to health, to peace, and the divine wisdom, the materialistic wisdom. And then, yes, money and all kind of other prosperity happens to be a part of it. And plus, I'm a numerologist. So I wanted that auspicious energy in my in the name where and then it's kind of a, I would say it's kind of something which serves the people who take my work's name also. So while you are speaking about my work name, you would say Neha Goyal Stream Reading. So just by that, imagine giving a signal to your brain of auspiciousness. So I was like, wow, this is amazing, and and Lakshmiji has blessed me with that kind of a wisdom to do this.
Wow, that's very interesting. And do you think that has any relationship with the Chinese Qi of good energy, Shri Qi? Do you think there is any connection with those?
So Qi is the Chinese, Qi is the life force.
Right.
An equivalent of that in our Indian understanding would be prana.
Prana, right? Okay.
Yeah. So when somebody does a pranayam or there are certain mudras that we have here in India also, for example, Ashwini Mudra and Kapalbhati and all, they are used to increase the prana, the life force within us. And that is exactly what the Chinese do in an oriental way through martial arts and working on their core energy. They normally do it next to a water body or in nature. So it's like a as above, so below, as within, so without kind of a concept, which is actually duplicated all across ancient, you know, wisdom, ancient cultures. And yes, but the equivalent of that in India would be prana.
Prana, okay.
Which is actually in astrology, it is denoted with Jupiter, the aether energy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's nice to know. One thing that I found quite different from a lot of other people who are also well-versed in arts like this is that you had 14 years of corporate life. So you know the other side.
15 years.
Oh, 15 years. I stand corrected.
40 is not even my age.
No, I said 14, 1-4.
Oh, 1-4. Okay, I heard 40. I was like, do I look wise?
No. You probably look wise, but not numerically.
But I would love to look like this if I have 40 years of experience and...
Don't be all.
Yes. Yes, and but that you can do, by the way. That's a hack. That's what these guys are doing with pranayam, that you can regenerate yourselves and look young and look rejuvenated at all times. And that's right. The ancient secret. That's the nectar of immortality, which everybody is following. Of course, it's not just pranayam. One needs to take care of what they eat, what they expose themselves to, which environment they are in, where epigenetics and all of that comes into picture. But I just want to put it out there. It's not non-doable. You know, people are, there are a couple of examples, like the monks in Tibet and, you know, people, they've been able to convert themselves into rainbow body. So, yeah, I mean, if you really work for it, you can do it.
Yeah, two things I think humanity has always been hankering about is one is longevity and the other would be to be the ability to turn lead into gold, alchemy.
Yes, absolutely. And also in that too, in alchemy also, because, you know, I have very deep interest in ancient wisdom. And and that is what has got me into the kind of work that I do today. You know, which is while I do say transformation coaching, in that it's a mixture of, so I'm a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, I'm a theta healer. And also in these coaching sessions, in fact, with NLP, I realize that basically what they're using are ancient ways of CBT, which is, you know, working at the cellular memory, working at, it's basically a coming together of science and psychology as we know it. Like psychology is also a part of science, but esotericism and science. And I was really in awe of that because before that, you know, my history is that I was interested in Egypt, how the Egyptians work, how did the ancient Indian, what does the ancient Indian wisdom says? You know, even in Ramayana and Mahabharata, there is so much which has been put across, which is actually what NLP and various other such modalities have picked up, such theta healing, NLP, etc., and made it more mass, so to say, you know. And why not? Because this is ancient wisdom which should reach out to everybody. So, yeah, it's been a very interesting journey that way.
Right. It's also remarkable. Yeah, I have a little bit of a musical background. So it's also remarkable that how all these things kind of tie up, right? If you look at it, there are 7 notes in Western music, 7 notes in Indian music. And like you said, most of the ancient texts, both, I think, not so much in the West, because the West does not have a very deep history in the kind of arts that we practice in. But as far as Chinese, Indian, they do have a real depth of material for tarot and stuff.
So tarot actually comes from the West, and
Egyptian, right?
That is some. Sorry?
Is it from Egypt, tarot?
Yes, that's what they say. They actually, nobody really knows the exact origin, but some say Egypt, some say France. However, there have been such similar concepts in India as well, right? So while we were growing up, we all might have heard of that one Panditji sitting at a corner with a pigeon, and there were cards laid in front of him, and the pigeon used to come out and pick up a card.
We all have
either heard stories, or when we were much, much younger at those times, these such people were still there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've seen that. Right? I've seen it happening.
Absolutely. And we as kids, we used to, like when we started to grow up, because we were somehow, the training here in India was to not embrace our culture. At least when we were growing up, and things are going back to the roots. We are now embracing our roots. Our kids, the next generation doesn't feel so. I mean, you know, we were, so to say, the transition generation, and the next generation is coming together. But all that I'm saying is that such things which were earlier laughed upon are basically, they're coming from somewhere, you know, which is very relevant, which has the same magic as anything else, anywhere else does. So I would say, yes, there have been maybe not as formal as tarot, but some piece of that has been there too. And then, of course, astrology, there is Western astrology as well, but Vedic astrology or the Indian astrology goes way back. And it is actually a replica of astronomy. Like, as this Vedic astrology comes from astronomy, which means whatever is happening out there, it's affecting us, you know, because we are, basically just saying that we are 70% water, and it is proven in science. You as a music expert, you know, you might have seen those experiments where various ragas were played, various tunes were played next to music, and then the music took the water took shape. There were frequencies there,
absolutely,
right? So, and that is exactly how all of these planets, all of these things which are out there in the space, are emitting some frequency. Science today has proven that moon also rings like a bell, earth also rings like a bell, and every other planet has a frequency, has a sound. And that sound, when we receive a snapshot of that sound, like, it's imagine that as soon as we've taken birth at that particular time, imagine those frequencies are affecting us, and a composition becomes a particular way. And that composition stays with us throughout our life. And that is what astrology is.
Right, yeah.
Based on.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, sometimes I mean, these are some of the things that run in my head. So when you have the horoscope cast, you put in different planets in different boxes. I must confess that my knowledge of astrology is very rudimentary, so I'm just saying what I think. So you put these planets into each of these boxes. Now, are these like the hour hand and the minute hand of a clock, so in order to be able to fix the time of the person? Or is there really a planetary influence on each one of us?
Yes, I mean, they do denote time also. For example, sun will be placed in a particular house if you're born in the morning or in the afternoon or in the night or late night, etc. So each house, basically the boxes that you are saying, these are houses. So first to the 12th house, and each house indicates a particular area of our own life. Just to give you an example, the first house will represent our personality, our attitude, our body. Second house will represent our cash flow, our childhood, and certain things like this. Third house will reflect on our communication, so on and so forth, right? And in such a way, and then when you put that to medical astrology, it will denote certain organs, you know, certain diseases, certain well-being concerns. Then if you put it into Ayurveda, certain planets will denote certain, constitutions, you know, Vata or Pitta, Rajasic or Tamasic. So that is, I would say that astrology is a way of being. So in the ancient times, in fact, it was used to understand yourself. Who is Neha? What moves her? What are her motivations? What are her weaknesses? You know, what is she good at naturally? Right? So today, after 15 years of my corporate experience, today I know that this is what comes naturally to me. It does not feel like work to me. The concept which is taking the rounds these days, the famous concept of Ikigai. Right? So imagine if... Okay, so it's a book which has become very famous, which is basically Find Your Passion, something which you're good at, something which serves the humanity, something which pays you well. A mixture of that in between, mixture of these pie charts, that's ikigai. That is what you can call it the life purpose, or that you will enjoy doing over here and stuff like that. So imagine if there is a, how these ancients used to use it. Imagine if there was somebody, all of us, for example, all of us when we were children, if we were trained, if suppose I was trained from the very beginning into this particular work, I would have probably, I don't know, reached wherever, right? Because I knew that my or psychology or whatever-ish. But when we but do we remember that when we were growing up, I'm sure my parents, even if they would have found out, they wouldn't have said, oh, go Neha, do tarot, do numerology,
The
it's
traditional Indian
okay.
parent would hardly say that.
Nobody. In fact, we all know, even we as parents, maybe we are a bit different, I don't know, but we would still want to have our base education in place. So earlier the community or the people were much more open to these things. In a way, I would say we have digressed rather than sorry, regressed rather than
Gone ahead,
moved
gone
ahead
forward.
in life. Yeah, progressed. Yeah.
So since you do a lot of allied sciences, let's say tarot and numerology and astrology and stuff like that, do you see that all these things tie up? Say, for example, if you do a astrological reading and then you follow it up with a tarot reading, would the divination process indicate the same destination, or for want of a better word?
Nandaji, we are living in a universe which is infinite. And at any given point, there are multiple ways of dealing with the same thing. And I literally mean multiple. It's just that whatever is our basic constitution, one way of being becomes easy for us or natural for us, right? So that way is to say that will each one give the same answer? Maybe not. But similar, yes, So obviously, if I'm going through people who get in touch with me, whether for my coaching sessions or for my consultations, they get in touch with me because either they have a concern on the need or they need to know something, which means that either they want to know a muhurata, or a name, what name should I keep for my kid or for my business, etc. So these are certain situations where per se there is no problem, or they get in touch with me when they're facing problems, right? So it is a given that whether it be a tarot card or whether it be astrology or for that matter numerology also, it denotes upon what are the numerological influences of that particular time on a person. They will definitely indicate towards a problem, right? So to that extent it is similar. And also, in fact, to let you know too, that numerology, astrology and esotericism, tarot represents all three of them. So such is the symbolism of tarot. So cards can also be represented as a particular sign, right? And in fact, because I know Vedic astrology and I have very deep interest in nakshatra, which is the lunar form of astrology, I have seen parallels to those nakshatras also. So basically, nakshatra is the ancient form of, like, even astrology in itself is ancient. But the nakshatra way of looking at astrology is right now very popular in, not right now, it is more popular in south of India, right? And basically, nakshatra form of astrology is based on the fact that they tell you your subconscious mind. It's like a container, okay? And in which are the planets? So, the flavors, so to say. And these flavors are coming from the nakshatras. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that a nakshatra is 1,000 volts, and the wiring of it is the planet. So we receive those energies or that essence of energy through the planets, and then we finally receive it through the houses in which these planets sit. So imagine knowing the core concern, And that is exactly my entire work is based on.
Okay.
That is what DNA astrology is based on. That's what my transformation coaching sessions are based on. That don't cater to the symptoms, because today you will, it's like taking a aspirin for a headache, where maybe the headache that you are having is because of the gas in your stomach. So you need to deal with the gas. And that is what motivates me. Ki root cause, what is the root cause of the problem? Such that eventually this person who's come to me is self-sufficient. No, he's not tied to me, he's not dependent forever, is not every second day or third day, even after getting in, would as it is said that if you've met a good soul, you why will you remember? Because of dependency or because of how that person made you feel?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
This is another area which I feel very strongly about, because if you create dependence, then you try to get a source of income for life, which is not a good thing in real terms. Let me ask you this. Now, since you talked about this nakshatra, we are bits and pieces of the solar system. We are from what we call star. Each one of us has a star seed in us. So would that, can I be a little imaginative and say that we are from different planets, or we are from different constellations, and each one of us and whatever nakshatra we have shows us the origins of our being? Would that be too
So,
far-fetched?
no, I mean, see, it's an interesting thought. None of us have seen the past, to be very honest, right? But here's something which I have explored in my research, and that is that to feel that we are from a particular place and from this place in the past is like saying that that I have a definite beginning and a definite end. Whereas if you come to the soul concept of it, the soul has always been there and will always continue to be there. Right? So there is no one place that my soul belongs to. And if I have to name that one place, it will be the source energy. And by source energy, I don't mean God, but definitely not a particular planet or a star, because I cannot be that limited. You know
I
what I
get it.
mean?
Yeah, I know. I'm getting it.
Right? So at the soul level, I'm infinite. But for me to think that I belong to a Palladian star scheme, a star constellation or a Acturian is almost as if I am saying that definitely I must have incepted at that one particular point, which is not true. I mean, at least not in the culture that I am born in. We believe in a life which is cyclic, which is never ending, ever beginning, and ever ending. As the Shiva concept says, nothing and forever. So I understand for people, for all the viewers who might just be hearing it for the first time, as it was tough for me to accept in the beginning also. But if you pick up the ancient scriptures, that's what they are saying. Egyptians had the concept of afterlife. They used to bury or mummify their pharaohs and animals, and even soldiers at some point in time for that afterlife, all the khazana, treasure,
All those things used to be
for the
packed along.
afterlife. Absolutely. And if you look at their the things which they were the carvings and the paintings that they were doing, all of those spoke about their past life, present life, future life, the gods and goddesses that they so were speaking about, or what we in the New Age people are also trying to. And I don't totally disbelieve them about Anunnaki and all of that. But my point is that for me to say that I am from a particular star system is very limiting for my soul, I believe. But could it be that I have because of the life lessons that I have had, I might have a stronger influence of a particular planet? Yes, that it could be a possibility. And that generally reflects in our Atmakaraka, which means that what my Atma is, up till now, what are the karams that I have accumulated, and what does my Atma naturally associate with or gravitate towards? So that can be concluded, yes.
Right. So as a very kind of a very rough example, one would call the body as a computer, and the power running through as a soul. Do you think the computer can go off and on, but the power is still on?
Okay. Yes. I mean, if you want to say that, yeah, the power or the life force is, I would say life force is something else. At times we have also a few concepts that I have come across are conscious, subconscious, and the unconscious, right? So I would say that soul could be a mixture of subconscious and the unconscious. Which means, and I often give this example, and let me know if that makes sense to you, because if it doesn't, then maybe I need to change it. How it is that, let's say, take a dough, okay? It's a normal dough, an atta dough or a maida dough, that doesn't matter. And what I do out of that dough is, it's a huge dough, and I take out different pieces out of it. And from those different pieces, each piece, I have the liberty to put whatever ingredients I want to, and thus make each one of them unique. So in one of one I can make a chapati, of other I can make a naan, of other I can make a tortilla, from another I can make something else, right? So that collective unconscious whatever can be that dough, okay? And then the part of that unconscious, that the pure dough's part, which is still not with the ingredients mixed, that can be the soul. And once the ingredients are mixed and it becomes a chapati, that can be me,
Okay, you have a clear identity
because
then.
because now it has a specific identity,
Right.
what we call the ego, which is
Yes,
not
ma'am.
always wrong. Inflated or deflated ego is wrong, but I am Neha Goyal, and you are I am speaking to Naranji, that I am not speaking to a collective unconscious, at least right now. So for the brain, from my brain as a human being, we need to have these kind of identities, to experience myself as a human.
Let's switch gears now. There is this theory of multi-dimensional consciousness. And to make it not to tread on anybody's toes, but I can exist on different planes of existence. What have you read anything about that? Is there any experience that you have that about these multi-dimensional consciousness and how you have a super self that you can get in touch with and ask him or her for guidance, kind of thing?
Again, a very interesting concept. And when it comes to multi-dimension, in my own, the way I look at it, and again, these are certain concepts which nobody can pinpoint and say this is the only truth. But here's a perspective that I found to be very, very believable for myself in my perception. And that is that, how about if these multi-dimension are not hierarchical or linear? That what I mean to say is that if today that I am a 3D and something above is 4D and something above that is 5D and something above that is 6D, what if these are levels of understanding, or opening up of brain concepts? I'm sure we all must have heard that there are certain parts of our DNA which are latent right now, which means they were there at some point in time,
Yeah,
right?
I've read about that. We only use 3 bits or some such thing. I'm not really
Correct.
sure about
And
yet.
there are certain dead parts in our DNA which are not
Right.
active, but
Right.
which also means that there is a possibility of activating them, and maybe that possibility might be superhuman, ways of being. I don't know. We don't know yet. We don't know anybody except maybe the monks that I have heard of who have converted themselves into rainbow beings, right?
Right.
With meditation, with sound therapy, and with very deep kind of lifestyle changes and stuff. So my point is that instead of looking at dimensionalities being linear or hierarchical, what if we say that They're all a level of understanding which one human being can have. And then there are certain more which are beyond us, because it's like limiting 1,000 watts of understanding or energy in a human form, which is not even 10 watts.
Yeah, I get that. But then look at the average Joe out there. For him or her to be able to grasp this concept of what you said might be difficult. So is it kind of broken down so that if you kind of stagger it, it's easier to, as a concept, to understand that? You think that's probably
so,
one
so
of
So, you know, have you seen in the olden days, there used to be this instrument called abacus?
Abacus, yeah.
Right? And basically what it had was that it was a wooden thing, and it had different strings on it, and each string had beads.
Right?
So, so these beads, you could move up, you could move down. So let's visualize an abacus, okay? And let's say that abacus is us, and those strings are different concepts within us. Not in relation to a particular thing, but maybe in relation to a particular thing. Now, within those, within that abacus and those different strings, maybe on the first string, I am at 3D understanding, okay? In the, on the second string, imagine 5 beads, because on in that concept, I'm of a 5D understanding. Then on the third string, I'm of a 1D understanding. Very basic. Then on the next, I am at a 10D understanding. You see? And so on and so forth. That's how I was saying that it's not necessary that a one human being cannot exist in multiple dimensions. Maybe with different understanding, levels of different understanding in different concepts. Maybe within, we can exist in multiple dimensions. For example, maybe when it comes to my family, I'm very basic. We all have attachments to our families. But maybe when it comes to the kind of concepts that we are discussing today, a few of them, I might be 4D or 5D. And maybe in something else, I might be 10D or 12D. You know, so all exist within me and my brain, and that DNA which is activated or not activated, right? And the minute I come at level on all, in any one particular dimensional level, if I come, like, let's say I become linear, then maybe I wouldn't be here on earth, because my body will not be able to hold it, because the body is 3D. And that's where such monks, they turn into rainbow light, which is the basic form of who we are, right? Because our body cannot hold a lot of stuff. It is meant for a particular thing, which doesn't make us lower or higher, just by the level of having consciousness and that ability which animals do not have, which means that a lion is in a jungle. It doesn't care whether it is doing good or bad by hunting on a deer. It's just doing its job. You know, that's what it is supposed to. That is wall that it knows that this is how I can survive. A lion will not go on a fast saying, no, I will turn vegetarian from tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be a death sentence.
Right? Yeah. So a lion is being a lion, whereas a human being, okay, can become a better person in every next decision that we take, because we have a consciousness.
So in other words, would you say that we are given the tools required to survive?
Yes, we are given the tools required to survive, but the survival can also be very subjective, isn't it? For example, if I have trained myself to survive on sun, okay, then I don't even need food. Whereas for somebody like me who is not, who is a foodie, you know, I will need my food.
Right.
So survival is also...
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. So when you say, let's take the sun example. Now, would you need to have the intention to be able to live off the sun and then you reach that level, or is the other way around?
I didn't understand the question.
Like, for example, if you get to a certain frequency, you can get by sun. I think you meant get energy from the universe. You don't need material food to be able to exist. So to be able to do that, do you have to put out that intention first, or you get that state and it automatically happens? How does it work?
Oh, definitely. There has to be an intention. There has to be a desire for it also. Because you need to prepare yourself, your body for it, to be surviving on sun or universal, I mean, on the solar and the lunar energy and stuff like that. It is not an easy task to do. But we know of people who are doing it. I think I was reading about it somewhere that there is this a sadhu in, I don't remember where, but he has done it. He has not eaten for a very long time.
Yeah, I read about that too. Yeah, there's some pictures of him too.
Exactly. And he has never been sick, it seems. Like he's just dying a natural death, which, you know. And then if you might have read of such case studies where people have been able to, you know, reverse the damage to their organs by intent, right? So obviously it is possible, and yes, it comes from intent and desire. I mean, for sure, the answer is yes, that you can, but you have to prepare your body for it. You have to prepare your mind for it. You know, you have to prepare, you need to get that undying discipline inside yourself and that commitment to be doing it. You know, and then you, and which is true for everything, actually, you know, you require to have that commitment. For example, today we decided upon a particular time. If I wasn't committed or if you weren't committed, this wouldn't have been possible.
Right.
So for everything to happen, there is a certain element of commitment which is required.
Right. Yeah. let me ask you a direct question. Have you seen extraterrestrials?
No. I mean, if in case you're not speaking about the person I see in the mirror, no.
That's a nice one. Yeah, because that's another, I think a lot of people are getting into that, and they say that there is a snowball, a gathering of, you know, the people who are, they say that if you have the desire, if you, if that desire snowballs to more and more and more and more people, then they will manifest. So I was wondering if any of your readings, do you have
there
you seen?
Certain, I would say that I am kind of shit scared of certain things. Like I, my brain is not prepared for a couple of things yet. For example, there are people who speak to the spirits and I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know. Like, I don't want to get into it. Matlab, I'm shit scared. Like, I don't want to, like, please, like, I don't want to indulge in those conversations only, right?
Okay, and,
no, no, of the spirits. And similarly, I'm thinking that if tomorrow, if an alien comes in front of me, I will shit in my pants, you know? So maybe I'm just not prepared for it. But do I believe in it? Yes, absolutely. I believe in it. And this is something which I have noticed. I believe in when I was young also, like, I do not feel that we are the only one out there in this vast universe.
Right.
You know, I think it's kind of egoistic to say that we are the, you know, that, oh, you believe in aliens. I'm like, why not? Why do you think we are the only intelligent beings around? Why can't there be more?
It's such an egoistic point of view, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And where there are people who are doing researches and they have found certain things, and those go into the conspiracy bracket, you know, and well, there are discussions about whether the moon landing really happened or not.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are so many other discussions about various things. So yes, there is a, you know, there was this movie which people who are watching this, they might want to watch. It's called the... I'm forgetting the name. How can I say this and then forget the name of the movie?
Happens to all of us.
So basically in that movie, what they have tried to show is that...
You're not referring to The Matrix, are you?
No, not The Matrix. It's an old movie anyways. So in that movie, they're trying to show that if there is a concept which is true, but they don't want you to believe, They will create it in such a manner. They will, the media will talk about it as if it's a conspiracy theory.
Ah, okay. That's an old trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, if they don't want you to believe it, they will create a parallel media where it is called a conspiracy theory.
Right. Right.
So that's what they were saying, and I was like, that makes total sense. Yeah, I mean, obviously, as soon as you hear conspiracy, you have a doubt in your mind, isn't
Yeah, I
it?
mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that game is even played today, right?
Exactly. So many things like our history, like aliens, like and then to handle the concept in a very light manner. For example, our own very own movie. What was that Jadoo movie? Hindi Bollywood movie of Hrithik Roshan and stuff, or for that matter, if you pick up any, most of the alien movies are such that as if you should be afraid of them, as if they are
Right,
out there to invade you, like Independence Day and the Alien,
the
and the times.
close
So.
encounters. Yeah, so my theory is that I don't think an alien force would come all the way here to subjugate us, and we are not that advanced for them to take anything from us. I don't think they need, if anything, they
We're
would
not
try to.
advanced, but we do have the power out of intention because the universe does have a an intelligence which is holding us together. So we can contaminate that. So to that extent, they might want to, how do I say, put in certain things to correct our path.
That's right. So if they can only be a good intention, they can never be a it can't be like the invading armies from space, and then you find ourselves in chains and kind of stuff. So
Again, very egoistic, right? As if I don't know
absolutely.
who am I that they will come and invade us.
I don't think that's worth their time. You have so many skills and so many. I'm surprised that the depth of knowledge that you have for. And how does this transition happen from the, did you have any kind of meditative experiences, or you just had it all came in a flash, or how did the switch happen from the corporate thing to the
No, life threw its shit on me.
so that's the best learning experience, huh?
Exactly. And that's how it happened. And I guess that's what make all of us curious, right?
Right.
Unless we are born curious.
Right.
So that's what led me to, we all begin with why me, and
Absolutely.
and then from the very beginning, I realized that I'm not the kind of person who is comfortable in the victim mode, and not to be judging other people. Everybody's circumstances are unique. And I'm not saying that my pain was higher, yours is lower, or vice versa. But I was just not comfortable with the victim thing. And I wanted to know that why. Why is it happening? So in the beginning, certain people got back to me saying that because this planet is sitting there. But my first thought was that why the planet cannot be having a personal agenda against me, So can you tell me that why is this planet sitting there? Now that's a question which nobody could answer. So in the beginning, I thought I'm asking a wrong question. But in the earlier days, if you were watching something on Mahabharata or Ramayana, and if you as a kid might ask that, why does this happen? And somebody would say, ye Bhagwan hai rehne do. This is God. That's how he does. That was their answer. Right? So at times that used to be the answer to me also. That's how the planets are. But that is what got me curious about finding answers about myself. Who am I? Where do I come from? What are the influences on me? If a particular thing is happening, why is it happening? What can I do to break it? And from a point of view of that, why do I want to break it also, or do I want to break it as well or not? So that curiosity led me to the kind of work that I'm doing. That is what led me to tarot. At that time when I did it about 10 years back, tarot wasn't even very popular in India because the social media was not there. Media as we know it, social media, the net as we know it was not there. But I was lucky enough, I did that. And then while doing tarot, I realized that I cannot do tarot like this. Generally, I had a problem with being told that this is what it is and this is all that it is,
So you do you if
And
you see as if you see pentacles, you don't think it's money?
I feel that it is not just money. It is money and it is also general stability, grounding, earthing.
There you go.
I can also connect it with the chakra and say it is associated with the Mooladhara chakra.
Okay,
right?
because of the
And
yellow
and so
color?
on and so. Sorry.
Because of the yellow color, is it why?
No, yellow is solar plexus, but just because of the earthy nature of that particular suit, right? That it has to do with the Mooladhara chakra, and the cups has to do with the Anahata chakra, right? And the wands have to do with the fire, the solar plexus chakra,
Okay,
right?
Manipura.
And the sword has to do with the upper chakras, because it is air, communication, intuition, clarity of thoughts, and so on and so forth. So my point was that I realized that I had a basic problem in accepting only one way of being, So which is good. I think today when I look back at that, I feel I'm very blessed. People might call it that to be a
Disrespectful.
rebellion or asking too many questions or why can't you stick to the norm, etc. And I totally understand that. I'm not judging them. Each one, we all have a particular journey. In my journey, I was just not supposed to be that way.
But
But it's
that's the
interesting because,
basic Hindu
sorry?
philosophy. Basic Hindu philosophy is that you always question. You never take things for granted.
Exactly. And that if, even when you pick up Mahabharata or Ramayana, I mean, it's so interesting that when I read these scriptures, these epics, oh my God, they have deep meanings,
Yes,
deep
yes, yes,
meanings.
yes. Absolutely. There's a superficial meaning, and there's a lot of like layers of an onion.
Yeah, even the names of each character.
It's not just asterisks, right?
Exactly. And then you can, and then how I can connect that to astrology and all. It was like, it's very interesting for me.
Yes, it
So
is.
that opened up a world to me, which it seemed like I naturally gravitated towards it, right? And then when I did NLP and theta healing and power of manifestation, mindfulness courses, and various other things today, which I use in my transformation coaching sessions, where I say that what I work with people on is a metamorphosis at a cellular memory level. So I'm dealing with the DNA, I'm dealing with the cell memory, I'm dealing with inner child, I'm dealing with womb healing, and I'm dealing with the traumas, etc. However, just a disclaimer, I'm not a psychologist or a psychotherapist or a counselor or a therapist. There's a difference between the two.
Sure.
And I, you can say, I'm a personal development growth coach or transformation coach, mindset coach, whatever else you want to call me. But I am not a licensed psychologist, psychiatrist. They're two different things.
Right.
So that, and then I use my numerology and astrology in this because I'm able to understand a person better. I'm able to understand their subconscious better, things which they might not know yet. But when I ask them, when I look at their chart and then they say yes, and they ask me, how do you know? So I'm just able to work with people in a much more enhanced way. So I am maximum work of mine is not about this is how your future is going to be. Maximum work of mine is work with me to make the future that you want happen for you. And also before that, work with me to know what really do you want in life. You don't want that boy or that girl. Trust me, you don't, right? You don't want a particular job. All you want is contentment, whatever that contentment might bring, whatever that self-love journey might bring. So work with me for that. So yeah, so basically asking your first question that are they interrelated? Can they be used together? Absolutely, that's what I do in my work, and
Right.
it's working out really well so far.
That's very nice. I know you have a Facebook page, and there are links and your phone numbers listed, and so too your email and stuff. But is there anything else you want to talk to my listeners about how to get in touch with you? Is there what's your preferred method? What's your preferred time? What's the lead time that's required for them to get a consultation and things of that nature?
So absolutely. I can be contacted on my Instagram page. The handle name is Neha Goyal. That's NEHAAGOYAL. I think you will mention it somewhere in the
Yes, I'll
description
put it down in
also.
the show notes as well. I'll put the links
Okay,
on.
perfect. And I will request everybody to join me on my Instagram page first because daily I make posts over there, I make videos over there, and Insta stories. And the idea is to connect and see. that what is it that I'm speaking about, what is it that I'm putting across, and then get in touch with me for my consultations, wherein I do my coaching sessions. So there is a range of coaching facilities available, starting from one session to a package of 6 weeks transformational journey. Or you can get in touch with me for tarot, numerology, and DNA astrology. So DNA astrology is a little different kind of an astrology. It is much more ancient. It speaks about what negative karmic patterns do we have, and it is coming from which planet, which karma of ours, and how can we balance those out. So I will be able to tell you that you have a negative planetary karmic relationship with this particular planet. Why do you have it? And what can you do about it? So once again, the thing that I was speaking about, that to work from the root cause up. So that's what I do. And I have a Facebook page. It's called Neha Goyal Dream Reading. You can also get in touch with me on my YouTube channel, Neha Goyal Dream Reading, by the same name. If you Google Neha Goyal Dream Reading, Neha with a double A, G-O-Y-A-L Dream Reading, you will find me. And but I would love for you to connect, for your people to connect with me on Instagram and, you know, just see. And a lot of people, I would say, in fact, out of almost 200 plus souls that I have worked with so far, almost all of them, I have first encouraged to come and see the kind of work that I do, so that, because all my posts are basically to train the cell memory of yours to get on a particular to be on a particular direction. And if you come and you listen to that or watch that or see that on a day-to-day basis, that in itself, people have got back to me saying that this affects them. This has made changes in their life. So I would love for your community to join me there as well.
Oh, that'll be, I'm sure they will. And one last question. So if they do want to contact you, and if they do want to get a reading done, how are your payment methods? Do they work online, or how does this work?
So all my consultations are online. And for people who are outside of India, they can pay by PayPal. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, so they can. So for the people who are outside of India, they can pay by PayPal. Mm-hmm. And within India, they can pay by Google Pay, Paytm, or a bank transfer.
Right. Most of my listeners are of, my demographic in the US, Canada, and to some extent Australia too, for some surprising reason. So
that's great. I've been working with, I would say outside of India, maximum I've been working with people in the US. And then UK. It will be interesting to get in touch with somebody in Australia as well.
Yeah, that'll be nice. I'm sure some might reach out to you then. So, sure. Thanks very much, Neha. Thanks for the time. And it was very interesting speaking with you.
Same here, Nandaji. And thank you so much once again for inviting. I really enjoyed having this conversation, because it's always good to connect with people who are like-minded. And it will be great to connect again.
Sure.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're most welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Namaskar. Radhe Radhe.